Good morning. Good morning. It is so good to see everybody this morning. I told Ramona a minute ago, I said, you draw a crowd. But no, this is such a special morning, and I appreciate you being here. I told William this morning, I can't think of a better man to bestow this honor upon. And so, thank you for being here to support him and joining this wonderful time. If you would, please take a look at the announcements on your own. I want to get into the service. So if you're our guest this morning again, I'm so glad you're here with us. We hope you feel right at home. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful time. This serious time, but Lord, it's also a joyous time. And we thank you for William. We thank you for his testimony, for his commitment to you. And Father, I pray this morning that you would be honored and glorified by all that we say and do. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
A deacon ordination council consisting of the pastor, the deacons of Forbes Baptist Church, met for the purpose of examining William Trivett as a candidate for deacon ordination on January the 15th, 2020. It is our recommendation of this council that William Trivett be ordained to the gospel ministry as a deacon.
Well, as I said earlier, it is truly an honor to be a part of this service. I know William is a very humble man who doesn't like a lot of attention. But I told him, brother, it's going to be on you this morning. But every word I say, I mean. You truly are an inspiration to me. You're an encouragement to a lot of people. And your nomination was not a surprise to me. As I thought about what I could bring as a charge to the deacon, this message is... I'm not just preaching at you, but this is truly to all of our deacons who may be in attendance. But the principles are going to be true for all of us as believers. What does it mean to be a deacon? A deacon, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul goes through some qualifications inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. In verse 8, he says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. There are several qualities of a deacon, but a deacon must be a model to the flock. A deacon must be an example that the people of God can look to and respect and follow. And a deacon must have excellent personal character. And that is what Paul is talking about here in verse 8. He says he is reverent. This word reverent literally means to be worthy of respect. It's related to some words of worthy of worship. But it literally means to be worthy of respect, to be someone who is dignified. They live in such a way that people respect them. And they are serious-minded about the things of God. He's not double-tongued. It says here, a deacon must be trustworthy. He must be consistent and honest in his speech. He's not given to much wine. He's not associated or controlled by alcohol or by illicit drugs, for that matter. He's not greedy for money. Now, the word greedy here, it's not just a person who hoards. It's not just the idea of hoarding money or trying to acquire money. But it's actually being fond of dishonest gain is what this word means. In Acts chapter 6, we won't look there quite yet, but deacon ministry often involved acts of benevolence. That was the whole reason the deacons were first appointed. It was to help care for the widows who felt neglected in the early church. The deacons were appointed to oversee this business for the caring of these widows and for the flock of God. And occasionally they would have to distribute money and handle money. So it's no surprise that Paul mentions here he can't be greedy for money. He must be a person who is trustworthy and not prone to theft or dishonest profit. Verse 9, it says, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. A deacon must have excellent personal character, but he must also be a born-again, spirit-filled believer. I know this sounds really practical, and it is, in this qualification. He must hold the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. When you look back at Acts chapter 6, verse 3, it says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation. And then listen to what it says. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Well, the only way you're going to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom is if you're a born-again child of God and the Holy Spirit has indwelled you as a believer. So you must be a born-again, Spirit-filled believer. You must be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and under His control, yielding to Him day in and day out. And back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, the idea of holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience is literally what he's saying here is that you must not be hypocritical. You must demonstrate a sincere desire to follow Christ. It's not enough to just say, well, I believe this or I believe that, but a deacon is a person who demonstrates that through their lifestyle and through their attitudes and through who they are. It's clearly evident to those around them. And William, we see that in you. In verse 10, it says, but let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Again, back in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, the first phrase there, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation. A deacon must always be found blameless. A deacon must be a person who is, and that word blameless means to be above reproach. And he must first be examined. That is why we had a deacon ordination council, as was mentioned. And that's C-O-U-N-S-E-L, not C-I-L. It's a council to confirm and to examine and to confirm him. It's not a ruling board that comes together and drills him, you might say. But the purpose of that council was to examine him practically and doctrinally and to confirm him and encourage him as he has been nominated and called into the deacon ministry. So he's first been tested, though, before that. See, William was nominated. He's been tested by those who nominated him. His reputation precedes him, and his character precedes him. And that is true of any deacon. Their reputation, they must first be tested by those who nominate them, by also our deacon ordination council, as we examine and confirm and encourage him. But the phrase, let be tested, is one word in the Greek. And it means, it's in the present tense, meaning it's a continual examination. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's a continual examination. Meaning that at any time, upon examination, a deacon must always be found blameless and above reproach. The word blameless literally means unable to convict. Meaning no one can put their finger at him and convict him of anything. Deacons must be a person of incredible character. They must be a born-again, Spirit-filled believer. Must always be found blameless. And then in verse 11 it says, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. A deacon must have a godly wife. A deacon's wife cannot be a hindrance to his ministry. Her lifestyle must also be above reproach. These words that are used here in verse 11 are the same exact descriptions that are used in the previous verses. A deacon's wife must be worthy of respect, not a gossip or a slanderer. She must be temperate or self-controlled. I prefer spirit-controlled as opposed to self-controlled. But the deacon's wife must be spirit-controlled as well. She must be trustworthy and reliable. Throughout the deacon ministry, there may be times the deacon and his wife discuss things at home. She must be trustworthy to keep those things confidential and to keep those things in that conversation and not to spread those things. Verse 12 says, "Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well." Another quality of a deacon, he must be a biblical family man. And he must do it God's way. He must be a faithful husband of one wife, literally a one-woman man, is what a deacon is to be. And the idea here, it's referring to moral purity and faithfulness to the promises he made to God and to his wife in the bonds of marriage. He must also be a faithful father, we see here, to his children. And he must be a faithful steward of his home and his wealth and his possessions. And then in verse 13, we see two blessings to those who serve as deacon and do it faithfully and do it well. There are two blessings that they're promised. The first one, it says here in verse 13, "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." The first is that a faithful deacon will obtain a good standing in the faith. William, you will be honored and you will be respected by those you serve. And you'll be honored by and respected by God Himself as you serve faithfully and execute your duties and your responsibilities as a deacon, caring for the flock of God and encouraging them. A second blessing is that a faithful deacon obtains great confidence in the faith. A deacon who is faithful will grow. William, you will grow. I've experienced it in my own life in my short years of ministry. I've already experienced it many, many, many times. You will grow in your own faith as you humbly serve God and serve other people. Deacons are to be models. They're to be this type of model to the flock, the things that we've mentioned, but they're also servants of the flock. The word deacon itself is a word that means servant or minister. And in Matthew chapter 20, we see some things, some very important things, and I'm going to close with this, that Jesus mentions about being a servant in the flock of God. In verse 25, it says, "But Jesus called them to himself, speaking of his disciples, and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you.'" A deacon is truly a servant. And kingdom ministry, what Jesus is saying here, kingdom ministry is not about authority. For those that we have leading us spiritually, those we have teaching us the Word of God, it's not about authority in the kingdom of God. But William, you are being elevated in responsibility. There is a great responsibility to care and serve for God's people as a deacon and not to lord over them. In verse 26, says, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave." Kingdom ministry is about responsibility. It's about humble service. And as ministers of the gospel, whether it's pastors and deacons or whoever it may be, it's important for us to remember that it's a privilege for us to serve Jesus Christ. It is a tremendous privilege. It's a tremendous responsibility. And we have to keep in mind and we must remember that our reward comes from Him and not from man. He is our rewarder, not man. There'll be dangerous times where you'll be tempted to please people, but we have to please God rather than men. In verse 28, Jesus says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Kingdom ministry, what Jesus was saying is, it's about the gospel. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the cross. Jesus gave His servants. He gave us, all of us, but especially those called into service, vocational service, lay service as deacons. He gave us as servants an example to follow. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He gave His servants an example to follow and a purpose to pursue. And that purpose being the gospel and the salvation of men and women. William, if you would please stand. I'm going to ask William to respond to some vows, some deacon vows. If you would please respond, I do, if you agree. William, as a deacon, do you promise to be a faithful servant, first to Jesus Christ and then to the members of Forbush Baptist Church? To the best of your ability, do you promise to live according to the qualifications of a deacon found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13? Do you promise to be a faithful witness of the gospel to unbelievers? Do you promise to assist, support, and encourage your pastor in caring for and serving the members of Forbush Baptist Church? He hesitated. Do you promise to be diligent in your personal study of God's Word? Do you promise not to neglect your family and to love your wife as Christ loves His church? And do you promise to demonstrate biblical stewardship and encourage your church family to support the ministry and missions efforts of Forbush Baptist Church with their time, their talents, and their offerings? All right, thank you, William. You can be seated. In the midst of His children, the Lord said He would be. It doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel that same sweet spirit that I felt oft times before. Surely I can say that I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. There's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills the place. I've touched the hem of His garment. I can almost see His face. And my heart is overflowing with the fullness of His joy. I know without a doubt that I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I
can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. My brother William, first of all, I just want to express to you what an honor and a privilege it is that you asked me to participate in this service. And second of all, if you can draw a crowd like this, we're going to ordain you every week. So as Pastor Justin has laid out the qualifications for deacons and their responsibilities, so just as a deacon has a responsibility to the church also has a responsibility to the deacon. Church's obligation to its deacons is threefold. First, the church should pray for its deacons. The New Testament church was born out of prayer. In the book of Acts, as Pastor Justin related in chapter 6, we see that following the ascension of the Lord, the disciples, numbered about 120 at that point, gathered in the upper room again to pray. They prayed until the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And as a result of the moving of the Spirit of God, Scripture tells us that Peter preached and over 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. As the church was born out of prayer, so it goes forward on the wings of prayer. In Acts chapter 6, we see that upon the recommendation of the 12 to select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, the church chose 7 men to fulfill the task of serving tables. And after praying, they laid their hands on them. There's nothing more important that you can do for a person, especially a deacon, than to pray for him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the Apostle Paul instructed the church at Ephesus, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. The renowned evangelist of the late 19th century, A.C. Dixon, who was from North Carolina, by the way, said, when we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. But when we rely upon prayer, we get what God can do. And we as a church desperately want what God can do. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we read, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, we're instructed, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Did you catch that? We're to never, ever stop praying. I charge you as a church family to pray for this newly ordained deacon. Pray without ceasing. Second, The church should encourage its deacons. Being an assistant to the minister, servant to the church, and a witness to the world is neither an easy nor an enviable responsibility. Deacons will spend long hours fulfilling their responsibilities. Deacons are sometimes faced with difficult decisions or problems in the congregation. In these times, they're sure to receive criticism, and they will need your prayers and encouragement. Scripture instructs us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, encourage one another day after day. We're to constantly and continuously offer encouragement. See, one of Satan's primary tools in ministry is discouragement. If Satan can drive the wedge of discouragement into our Christian commitment, he's won a major victory. When a brother or sister in Christ is experiencing difficulties, sometimes just something as simple as a spoken word of encouragement, a handwritten note, or a card that simply states thinking of you goes a long way. The writer Mark Twain once said, "I can live 3 months on one good compliment." There's enough discouragement in the world without our adding to it. I know from personal experience that William and Ramona Trivett are encouragers. I also know from my past deacon experience that there will be times, William, when you will need encouragement. In those times of trial, it's easy to become discouraged. There have been times when I have felt that my wife was my only cheerleader. So, William and Ramona, you have my word that I will pray for you and encourage you every step of the way. The Lord has called you and ordained you to do his work. And may God grant that all of us will be encouragers to both William and his wife, Ramona. Third, the church is to follow the leadership of its deacons. The deacon's a servant leader. They have no authority except which is given to them by the church. We as believers are not to follow anyone blindly, but when the deacon body offers a proposal, we as a church body should give it prayerful and careful consideration. We should understand that they often have access to facts that we may not have. Usually they have discussed and prayed over the matter thoroughly. Deacons are godly men, but they are men. Sometimes they will make a mistake, but most of the time they will be right. As we should follow their recommendations, some of God's gift to his church are gifted leaders. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the church at Thessalonica, states in 2 Thessalonians 3:7, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you." Paul continues 2 verses later, verse 9, he says, "Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example." A church is blessed to have a deacon body that loves and serves Jesus as well as the congregation. It's the duty of the deacons to set an example for the church body. It's the duty of the congregation to follow their example. So, church family, it is our duty for our deacons to encourage them, to pray for them, to follow them. And as a deacon, one last piece of scripture here. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friend." So my charge to you today, church, is threefold. Pray for William, encourage William, follow William's leadership and example. So church body, if you accept this charge to pray for, to encourage, and to follow William's leadership and his example, Please respond, "We will."
At this time, any ordained men that would like to come and offer a word of encouragement or prayer with Brother William, we will have our laying on of hands at this time. So, William, if you would come and have a seat. And Ramona, you can.
I have come to offer a prayer of dedication. In the time that I have known this man, I was doing interim work here at Fort Bush, and I heard that William Trivett had broken his leg. I thought he lived the first house after you turn on the Shacktown Road, but I couldn't never find the gate open. I later learned that that wasn't where William lived. I have known this man now for some time. My last name is Trivett, and his is now Trivett. I saw William as an example. I have listened for that word today, and some have come close to saying that. William, to me, they could not have found a man in this community with a better example than William has. Living for Jesus, serving in his home, dedicated to his church, and dedicated to others. Couldn't have found any better. And your wife also. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this is a good day, a great day. And Father, I think that there is rejoicing in heaven today, because the angels of God can see and know what's going on in this place. And I pray, oh God, that you will keep Brother William an example, dedicated, loving others. Guide us, O Lord, and may this day bear fruit for the kingdom of God, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, it is a great honor that I present William with a certificate of ordination. And it's worth more because Tim Turner signed it. But, and we also have a gift for you. And there's a lot of people here that love you. There's a lot of people here that are praying for you. We will be, and as Brother Tim said, we will continue to pray for you. And I wish you all the best in deacon ministry.
It is kind of hard for me to follow such eloquent speakers as we've had this morning, but I'll try. I do want William to know that I wish him all the best in his walk of being a deacon here at this church and other places that he goes. There's a few things I'd like to say concerning my acquaintance and friendship with William. Over the years, I was listening to the radio Friday night, and the DJ was talking about friends. We all have friends. Most of us have a lot of friends. And some of us have good friends, and good friends, you can expect to call them, and they will be there with you if at all possible. Sometimes they might make excuses that they can't be there. But with another type of friend, a best friend, You can always expect when you call him, if he can get back with you, he'll be back with you in a very short amount of time, and he'll stop what he's doing, and he'll come, and he'll be there to help you. He is that type friend, William Trivett. Me and William's done a lot of work together. We've done a lot of woodwork, and we've worked all day. And when we come out after we've worked all day, William will not have a speck of dirt on him or a hair out of place. And I'll be looked like I've been drugged through a pig pen and in total disarray. So that's the way we work. If any of you have ever been in a graveyard with VFW in officiating, seeing them folding the flag and giving comfort and consoling the family, William Trivett is one of those. And it makes me feel good to know that William Trivett was my friend doing that. We had two deacons this year that was put in our church, Tim Carter and William was the two. And I do appreciate each and every one of them doing their job, and they do it well. So let's bow for the benediction. Our kind, most gracious Heavenly Father, again we come to thee in prayer. And as we come, we pray, Father, that you'd be with the ones that have been mentioned here today. We pray that you'd be with William as he's on his road in the deaconship. We just pray that you'd guide him and give him the words and the wisdom he needs to do the job. We pray that you go with us now through the rest of the day. Guide us, direct us, and forgive us of our many shortcomings. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.